wonderful readings today. First, Job. Poor Job, huh? Had a bad day. A whole bunch of them in a row. This was the problem. So this is what, 1,000 years before Christ? So it's a while ago. And they still are trying to figure out God, right? And the very common knowledge then and belief would have been good things happen to people who are good and bad things happen to people who are bad. They've held that belief for quite a while until this. So he's got a problem. Job was good. Actually, really good. And a whole bunch of bad things happened to him. Building collapsed, killed all his kids. Robbers came and took his camels, his sheep, his cattle, right? Thousands of head. And then he got boils all over his body, poor guy. And his buddies came and said, Job, knock it off. Admit it. You are bad. What did you do that was bad? Repent, right? So that this goes away. And he wouldn't give in. He said, I didn't do anything wrong, right? Even his wife turned on him, right? You lazy lout. She didn't use that word. I like that phrase, though. You know what a lout is? Do you remember this from last year? Did I use this word before? A lout is a lice, like a lice. And they're really lazy, okay? This type of lice. So a lazy lout is a really, really, really lazy thing. So there. But Job, he has these fights, and he won't give in. God finally comes to him, and he scolds the wife and his buddies and said, you're all wrong. And then he told Job, and don't get arrogant on me, all right? Don't you overdo it here. Did you make the wind? Do you know where the snow is stored? Right? It's a wonderful little dialogue. But here we are today. And Job just is, he's in a bad way. I shall not see happiness again, he says. But why I'm telling you the story, at the end of the day, it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. My dear young people, don't blame yourself so much. Now, some stuff we're to blame. But there's so much that we're not to blame for. And we let self-pity, self-loathing, beating ourselves up over and over and over again when it's not our fault. I remember meeting with a person, this was years ago, who was suffering from depression. And I wasn't having much luck with the person. And all I said in the end, I said, ma'am, it's not your fault. And everything changed. Everything changed. So if you're suffering, don't suffer alone. Share it. It makes a huge difference. Share it with Jesus Christ. But then also, if it doesn't lift, tell your doctor. God works through doctors too. Tell your confessor. So many times when we think, I shall not see happiness again, it's important to hear. It's not your fault. Keep crying out to God. Ask him to heal. And then if it doesn't, reach out to others and then offer it in love to Jesus. Second, the responsorial psalm. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Do we believe that? That he heals the brokenhearted. Every time. We think healing's supposed to happen in a half hour. No, it may take 20 years. Maybe 30. That's not so bad. We offer it with him. In deep unity. I had a wedding anniversary. They celebrated their 50th. And right before we went for the mass, I said to her, how was it? She said the first 20 years were living hell. And I thought, oh boy, I got to preach on this thing. Now I got to say he's a loser. You know, that's not a very happy thing to say on their 50th. And then she paused and looked at me and she said, but the last 30 years have been amazing. So we have to take the long view. Right? It doesn't just happen. When we say, heal me, Lord, he says, okay, I like that idea. He takes us by the hand, as he does in the gospel, right? Takes his mother-in-law of Peter by the hand and helps her up. He doesn't just make her get up. They do it together, and he heals her. So when you ask Jesus, Jesus, help me with this, he is saying to each one of us, I'm right here, let's do it. And he reaches out his hand, and we don't want to get out of off the couch. He says, okay, he sits back down, because he's right here, in his person, sitting next to you. And when we ask, he's simply saying, whenever you're ready to get up with me, then we'll get up. But so often we want him to do it, and we do nothing. And he loves us too much to do it without us. He loves us too much to do it without us. Second reading. I like this. So Paul, he's talking to, you know, some early Christians, writes him a letter, and he says, I preach the gospel, but that's no reason to boast. So he's an apostle. I'm a successor, but it applies. So he says, woe to me if I don't preach it. I'm going to preach it, and it's going to be free of charge. So I'm not going to charge you today. But it would be my right. Isn't that something? We can learn all sorts of things if we listen. He's telling us how the church is going to operate. The sacraments are free. The sacraments are always free. They're free of charge, the gospel. But then he says, to the weak I became weak to win over the weak. Where did he get that idea? From our master, Jesus Christ, who became completely weak for us, took on all of our infirmity, every disease. The gospel, right before we, in the little passage it has, Christ took away our infirmities and bore our weaknesses by putting them on to himself. So he's with us. This is a great encouraging Sunday. The gospel, as we close this seek, I mean, you couldn't have picked a better one. Again, Jesus grasps her hand and her fever leaves her. They immediately tell him about her. I mean, it's a fever, not dying. You don't have to be dying for Jesus to take interest in what you're suffering. If you have a headache, hangnail. Don't get too worked up about it, right? But you can offer it. St. Teresa of Lisieux said, if you pick up a piece of straw off the ground out of love, it's enough to help save someone. But just picking up a piece of straw out of love. So look for places this week, huh? Deal with your hangnail and offer it for someone. That crazy thing, I pulled one out last week. It was connected to my toe. I had no idea. It's crazy how they can hurt. Offer your sufferings, those little things, to Jesus Christ. Then, this is great. At evening, they brought him all who were ill and possessed by demons. So guess who that was? The whole town was gathered at the door. That's hilarious. It's us, right? We're all fighting demons, right? We all have illness, sickness. No one was excluded, right? So keep showing up at the door. This door. This door. Then he gets up early. You know, he's saving the world, by the way, Jesus. So he's got busy days. They're kind of full, even fuller than yours, believe it or not. And guess what he finds time to do? Rising early the next morning before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. I encourage you, listen to him pray. Listen to him pray when you pray. Pray with him, sitting right next to you. And when you ask him, Jesus, pray for me. Mary, pray for me. What do they say to the Father? So when you say to the Blessed Mother, Mary, help me. What words does she use when she goes to her son to tell him about you? Did she just say, number 486 today, remember her? Uh-uh. She knows your name, knows you better than we know ourselves. So does Jesus. But they talk about us. They talk about us. When you're praying, imagine, what is Mary like about you? Not just love. Like and love are different, aren't they? We're called to love everyone. Some people I can't stand. They got bad breath. They're kind of annoying, right? I don't like them. I don't travel with them. We don't hang out, right? They don't like me either. We're in agreement, right? But we still love each other, right? Jesus not only loves us, he likes us. And what does he like about me? Because he says, I no longer call you slaves. I call you friends. What is he like that's unique about you? Maybe it's how you laugh, your smile, your handshake, that you can cook, that you can't cook. What is he like about you? Oh, that would help us a great deal. If I had someone stand up who knew you and said, what do you like about her? What do you like about him? You would be so shy and embarrassed, you would hate it. Because it's too intimate, I don't want to hear it. Now, you can tell me what you like about me. I'm ready for it. But most of us would get embarrassed, right? You'd be like, shut up, knock it off, right? Would Jesus allow yourself to let Jesus and Mary tell you so much about what they like about you that it embarrasses you? Let them surprise you with their love. And then, how do we end this weekend? This is a great one. They find him while he's praying. Simon and those who were with him pursued him. On finding him, said, everyone's looking for you. That's what seek is. Everyone's seeking. Not just you. I got news for the whole world. And I'm going to keep saying it and live by this till I'm dead. Every human person is seeking for something. In fact, is seeking for someone. If they know it or not, if they believe it or not, everyone is seeking for the one who is everything, for the one who fulfills our every hope and desire. One of the proofs for God's existence from Cardinal Newman, he's a saint now. Is he a saint? He's a saint. He has a great argument. He said, you know what? We're finite. There was a time we didn't exist. We're finite beings. And yet we can't even imagine not being. What's that mean? That we're made for the infinite. So even when I think of myself as dead, I'm thinking of myself as thinking of myself of what that's going to be like being dead. Do you follow? Not a bit. I really don't either. I didn't do well on that course. No, it's true. We think of the infinite. How can we? We're finite. That is the proof that there has to be someone who's infinite, because none of us are. And none of us want to go poof, I'm nothing when we die. We even know that's not even possible, because I want more. Everyone is seeking. The world is so much standing at the door. They don't even know who it is they're missing. But they all know they're missing someone. It's up to us to share him whom we have found, rather, the one who has found us. you haven't been seeking, not nearly as much as Jesus and his blessed mother have been seeking for you.